Let's give the Lord a hand praise. You may be seated. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. God is good all the time. We come together this morning to challenge the men that God has called us not just to be males, but to be kingdom men. There is a standard upon every male that is born, and that is to be a kingdom man. How many know that we need a standard? How many know that we need to be challenged? How many know that we need to be convicted by the Holy Ghost? Because if we don't have a standard, I'm going to tell you, we will lay down and go to sleep. If we don't have a standard upon our life, we won't get a job. If we don't have a standard upon our life, we won't be a husband. If we don't have a standard upon our life, we won't be the man that God has called us to be. So God has come today to raise the standard amongst all the males in this house, that he has not just called you to be a male, but he's called you to be a kingdom man. He's called you to be a kingdom man. I thank God that he has reminded us to not settle for just being a male. Our lives fall apart when we settle on just being males and not kingdom men. Our marriages fall apart when we settle on being males and not kingdom men. Our communities fall apart when males settle on being males and not kingdom men. It is kingdom men that God has called or chosen to use to change this world. It is kingdom men that God has chosen to impact our communities. It is kingdom men that God has chosen to be husbands and fathers and mentors. It is kingdom men that God has put it on this church. If you're going to hang around Chapel of Change for any length of time, you're going to be challenged to step up to your calling as a kingdom man. We ain't going to allow you to lay down. We ain't going to let you off of the hook. No, no, no. We ain't going to let you off of the hook. We're going to challenge you, and we're going to pray that the Holy Spirit convicts you that you're not called to live in sin. You're not called to live in unrighteousness. You're not called to be average, so-so, commonplace. No, you're called to step up to the call of a kingdom man, and God is looking. He is looking. He is searching in our communities. He is searching in our churches. He is searching in our homes for one person that will rise up and say, Lord, here I am. Make me a kingdom man. Make me a kingdom man. I want to challenge us this morning just for a couple moments, because the word of God has already come forth. Y'all been challenged. But I want to just put a kind of a seal on this, what the Lord has been doing already in our service. And let me just read one verse to us this morning out of Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Listen to this, what God says to Joshua, a man that is about to step up into leadership, a man that is about to step up into the unknown, a man that is about to take over the whole nation of Israel, a man that is about to fulfill or live in the shoes of Moses, because Moses just died. And now God has called upon a man by the name of Joshua. And he says, listen, it is your turn. You're stepping up to the plate. And before you do what I called you to do, I got some words for you. And this is, just listen to what God told Joshua, because I believe it's the same thing he's telling us today, right? If the word of the Lord was good then it is good today. Someone say today. Listen to what God tells to Joshua. He says, only be strong and very courageous. Someone say courageous. That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right, and do not turn to the left. How many know we get easily distracted? How many know a lot of times, brothers, they be chasing squirrels in this world, because we get distracted very easily, and God knows that. So he says, listen, I don't want you to turn to the left, and I don't want you to turn to the right. I don't want you to turn to the right, and I don't want you to turn to the left. I want you to follow this word. I want you to get this word in your heart. I want you to get this word in your mind, and I want you to walk this thing out. I want you to live this thing out. I want you to obey my word. He said, then you may prosper wherever you go. Listen, I just want to remind us, God gave us his word not to be a buzzkill. God didn't give us his word to hold us down. God didn't give us his word to be a buzzkill over our life. No, God gave us his word so that we could come alive. God gave us his word so we could fulfill our destiny. God gave us his word so he could direct us and we could navigate through this wicked world. He didn't give us his word so that he could hold us down. No, he gave us his word so that we could come alive. This word is life, and it is spirit to all them that receive it. God gave us his word so that we could be a holy nation, a royal priesthood. God tells Joshua two major things when he commissions him. He says, and I'm going to put it in a sentence, a kingdom man is courageous. Someone say courageous. Joshua was under pressure. He was about to do something he never did before. He was about to step out in faith and lead over a million people that were known for being grumblers and complainers and you know, pointing the finger at people. And Joshua was about to lead this group of people, and he was following along the greatest leader of the Old Testament, Moses. And so there was a lot of pressure falling on Joshua. And the first thing that God says is, listen, I want you to be strong and I want you to be courageous. Someone say courageous. A kingdom man is courageous. A kingdom man is a courageous man. When you think about this for a second, courage is faith in the face of fear. Courage is faith in the face of fear. Courage is standing up to your fear with the power of faith. Courage is standing up to the fear that you face with the power of faith. Courage gives you power to use your power. What good is it if you have the sword of the Lord, but you got no courage to yield it? What good is it if you're filled with the power of God, but you got no courage to use it? What good is it if God has done a million things in your life or wants to do some things in your life, but you don't have the courage to walk in it? The enemy, he attacks our courage because he doesn't want us to use our faith. And if you don't use your faith, you'll never pursue your dreams. If you don't use your faith, you'll never step out into your destiny. If you don't use your faith, you'll never overcome the enemy that's trying to overcome you. If you don't use your faith, you'll never trust God. If you don't use your faith, you'll never step out. So the enemy, he attacks our courage because he knows if he gets your courage, he gets your faith. And if he gets your faith, he gets your victory. For the Bible says our victory is because of faith. That's why we need to be praying, Lord, fill me with some Holy Ghost courage every day. Serving the Lord is very meaningful. Serving the Lord is very significant. But serving the Lord can be oftentimes fearful. Whenever you decide to step out, you're going to be slapped with fear. Whenever you try to do something God put in your heart, you're going to be wrestled with fear. And so you need to be able to say, Lord, fill me up with Holy Ghost courage that I might chase down the enemy instead of run from the enemy. Over and over again, God tells us in his word to be encouraged. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6, he says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Some of you, God is steering you up to do something you've never done before. He's given you a vision. Whether it's a business, whether it's a dream, whether it's a ministry, whether or not you've had broken relationships and God is trying to get you into a new and healthy relationship and you're being overcome by fear. Fear is trying to paralyze you. Fear is trying to hold you down. God is telling you this morning, don't be terrified, for I am with you. I go with you and I will never leave you nor forsake you. We serve an omnipresent God. That means God is everywhere. He is omnipresent. That means he was there before you got there. Some of y'all didn't catch that. We serve an omnipresent God. That means he's everywhere. That means he was there before you got there. He was at that job interview before you even stepped into that room. He was in that situation before you even got to that situation, because he is everywhere at the same time. That's the God that we serve. He is. That's why he could say he could never leave us nor forsake us. Before we got there, he was there waiting for us. I'm waiting for you to step into the room. I'm waiting for you to step out in faith. I'm already here. It's time for you to move from there to here. I'm waiting on you. Whether it's a dream or a vision or a ministry or a business, you need to step out and get to where I'm at. So don't be terrified. The Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. It takes courage. Courage to step out on our faith. It takes courage to be godly people. It takes courage to fulfill our destiny. It takes courage to stand up for Jesus. It takes courage to be a man of values and conviction in a world that is seeking or sinking in sin. God not only tells them to be courageous, but a kingdom man is also radically obedient. A kingdom man is radically obedient. Let me remind you of what God tells them in verse 7. He says, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do. Observe to do. Check this out now. Observe to do. Watch to do. Watch to do. Do. I want you to catch this. Very, very powerful. That you may watch to do. Watch not to criticize. Some of y'all didn't catch that. God said, I want you to watch not to point the finger. I want you to watch not so you can criticize and complain and grumble. He said, I want you to observe the word that you might do the word, for your power is in the doing of my word. And so he tells Joshua, he says, listen, if you want to be fruitful, if you want to prosper, I believe that God wants his people to prosper. He wants us to be fruitful, right? That your prosperity is tied to your radical obedience. It's tied to your radical obedience, that Joshua chose to radically obey God. He chose to radically obey God in the face of fear. And his radical obedience led him to victory. It led him to victory. I want to remind us this morning, our victory is on the other side of our obedience. Our deliverance is on the other side of our obedience. Our breakthrough, you waiting for a breakthrough in a situation? You've been stuck, you've been dry, there's something that has just been lingering and you've been hoping and wishing to break through it, break through it, break through it. Your breakthrough is on the other side of your obedience. What has God been calling you to do? What has God been challenging you to do? What has God been stepping you up to do? It's on the other side. Prophet Isaiah said in chapter 1, verse 19, if you are willing and obedient, not just a willing, a lot of people are willing. Here, I'm willing, God. But he says, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. God got good things for you. God has good things for everybody who calls upon his mighty name. But he says, listen, if you are willing and obedient, that means you got to put in some work. That means you got to sacrifice. You got to do something. That means you got to step out in faith. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. So the challenge this morning is, what has God been asking you to do? What has he been asking you to do? What is the thing that you cannot go to sleep at night because it keeps coming back to you? What is that thing that God has been requiring you to do? What have you learned lately at Chapel of Change that you have not put into practice? Help me out now, my brothers and sisters. Don't allow me to preach week after week over here and people clap their hands and say, praise the Lord, and say, amen, but they don't do what's coming forth out of this pulpit. Help me out. Don't allow me to waste my time. I spend 20, 25 hours a week to prepare for one Bible study, one sermon. I'm doing my work. I'm trying to do my work, amen, but y'all got to do your work, right? Don't just sit up and get filled with the word and don't do the word. Help a brother out. Help yourself out. Help your marriage out. Help your family out by doing this thing. By doing it. He said, observe to do. Observe to do radical obedience. Now listen, for some of y'all, God has been trying to get you to do something, right? What is that? But for some of y'all, God is trying to get you to stop doing something. Everybody's different. Everybody's different, right? We're all in different places of our journey, right? And we're not to compare ourselves to one another. That's unwise. That's unwise to compare ourselves with one another, right? You compare yourself with the Word of God. I'm not your mirror. The Word of God is your mirror. Right? The Bible says it's the Word that is a mirror. You know what that means? That means we are to go into the mirror of the Word and see what we're supposed to look like, right? You don't go into a mirror and see something on your tooth and you just walk away. You have meat on your teeth and you're just walking away. No, you go to the mirror, right? And the Word's supposed to show us what we are to look like, and you straighten out that hairdo. You straighten out that look. Right? So for some of y'all, God is trying to get you to do something. But for some of y'all, God is trying to get you to stop doing something. What is it? Think about it. I don't know. It's different for everybody. Maybe he's trying to get you to stop smoking. I don't know. Right? If you cannot kill the spirit of smoke in your life, you ain't going to kill the spirit of lust. This journey with the Lord is steps. And sometimes we stay on one step for like 5 years when we didn't have to stay on one step for 5 years. We just had to stay on it for 5 days to figure it out. But we spent 5 years on one step. Maybe some of the stuff, I don't know. Maybe what is God telling you to get out of your life? What is he trying to cut? Maybe for some of us, he's trying to get us to stop having sex out of marriage. I don't know. Maybe God is trying to get us to stop having sex out of marriage. Stop sleeping around, men. Maybe. I knew it was going to get quiet up in here. You know what I'm saying? Y'all were loud when I first got up in here. Y'all were loud when Pastor Terry was preaching. Amen. You know what I'm saying? But something happened. You know what I mean? I don't know. What is it that God is trying to get us to stop? Maybe he's trying to get us to stop being overcome by fear. I don't know. Maybe he's trying to get us to stop being lazy. It could be something very, very small that is messing up everything. Maybe stop being lazy. Maybe stop living like you used to live. Like we are, I believe, in the sixth month of the year. That means we're halfway. If you are living today the same way you were living in December 2018, something is wrong. Something is wrong. We're doing this thing wrong, man. If there ain't nothing that changed in your life in the last 6 months, something is wrong. And we're doing this thing wrong, and it ain't gonna work. It don't work if we don't work it. It don't work if we don't work it. It only works if we work it. And God is trying to bless you. God wants, let me tell you, God has been trying to bless mankind all the way since the Garden of Eden. It's us that keep messing it up. It's us that keep messing it up. It's us. God is trying to bless your marriage. He's trying to bless your relationship. He's trying to give you a healthy marriage. You trying to take it out the box. He wants you to be, he wants you to be fulfilled, but you can't be fulfilled with your own thinking. He wants you to have a job. He wants you to prosper, but you can't cut corners. There's a process to this thing. Too many of us, particularly men, we want to skip the process. There's a process where God has to prepare us and shape us and even break us. But it takes radical obedience. A kingdom man is courageous. A kingdom man is radically obedient. I've been serving the Lord for almost 27 years. And there are two things that God has constantly required of me. Two things. And that's courage and obedience. I can't get rid of them. I can't get rid of them. Every time I turn around, no matter how much I obeyed God last week, he requires me to obey him this week. No matter how much I stepped out in faith and been courageous, it feels like I have to start all over the next week. Two things he's always required of me. And sometimes they're together, courageously obedient. Sometimes they're together, courageously obedient. It happened to me just the other day. Saturday. It happened to me, I think it was Saturday, I think it or Friday it happened to me. I took my kids. I was going to preach a men's conference in Orange County on Friday night. I was preaching a men's conference on Friday night, and my point was that God has called us to be examples. That was my point. A kingdom man is an example. That was my point, man. I prepared. I studied the word. I went and seen all the scriptures where Paul says, follow my example as I follow Jesus' example. I went into the scripture where Paul says, Timothy, he says, listen, don't let people look down upon you because you're youth, but be an example of godliness, of purity, right? Be an example of speech. I put together a powerful message, man, I believe. I was ready to preach this thing, too. On Friday night, we're going to go to Orange County. A lot of the men came with us. We went on a journey. That afternoon, man, I took my family because Fridays for me typically is during the day is family day. So we take our family out somewhere to have fun. And my kids, they said, Daddy, I want to go to Frog House, Bounce House, somewhere like that. And so I said, all right, get in the car. Everybody get in the car. And I said, before we go to Frog House, Bounce House, whatever it's called, we got to go to McDonald's because I got to eat. And I don't recommend McDonald's, but it was just a fast way to do it. So I go into the drive-thru and I ordered my Big Mac. And I don't recommend a Big Mac because every time I eat a Big Mac afterwards, I have to repent. And I ordered this Big Mac. I ordered everybody food, and I'm in the drive-thru right here on Lakewood Boulevard, right? And in the back of my mind, man, we're about to drive off, but let me eat my Big Mac real fast, and the kids can eat while we drive. So I pull over on the red right there in the parking lot. There's a red sidewalk, and I pull over and I stop, right? And I start to get out the food because in my mind, I'm going to eat this Big Mac real fast. Let them eat. We'll drive off to the Frog House Bounce House. Y'all following along? Soon as I go take a bite, all of a sudden, my 10-year-old boy thinks he's the police. And he goes, Daddy, we ain't supposed to be parking in the red. Is this the red? And I look at him. I said, brother, what are you, the traffic police? And then my 8-year-old daughter jumped on the bandwagon and said, yeah, Daddy, we ain't supposed to be parking in the red. And I looked up. I said, now you too, Brutus.
I'll get that later.
And then my 4-year-old, 5-year-old daughter says, Daddy, I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to go. And then my 10-year-old boy, he goes, oh, the police are coming. And then my wife goes like this. And I'm like, I said, man, they're tag teaming against me. And then my pride starts to swell up. Because now I think, you know, they're kids. They're manipulating the situation. And then my wife, she jumps on their bandwagon too. And now it's me against 4 people. And I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm gonna press the hazard lights. Because I'm trying to justify my sin. If you press the hazard lights in the back of my mind, like, hello, someone, can I talk like family? Don't judge me now. So next thing I know, I look back and my son is squirming in the seat. He's saying, Daddy, we're not supposed to. He's squirming in the seat. You got to remember, we homeschool our kids. So we're teaching our kids to obey. We're teaching our kids to follow the word. And I looked at him. He's squirming. But by that time, I'm overcome by pride. I said, I'm going to eat this. Y'all ain't tag teaming against me. I ate the hamburger. It was the worst Big Mac I ever ate in my life. And I took off. And I said to myself, I said, you know, we can't go to Frog House Bound House. We can't go, man. This thing is just, this Big Mac messed me up. So I go home, right? And we all get out the car. My kids are crying. We get out the car. And we all go our own little ways. In the house, I go to my office, and you can best believe the Holy Spirit is like, oh, you're gonna preach on being an example tonight? Dang. That's why it's hard to be a preacher, man. It's hard, man, because the Holy Ghost will call you out, or your wife will call you out, either one. They kind of tag team. And I was sitting there in my office, right, and I'm like, man, how am I going to preach? So I said, you know what? I'm going to change my points. Dude, I'm telling y'all too much, man. I'm telling y'all too much. Hey, y'all judging me right now, but it's okay. It's okay. I'm going to tell you anyways, man. So I said, I'm going to change my points. I ain't lying. Tell Ax Messina. I sent them a new sermon slide. I said, hey, switch that point out for that. I didn't tell them why, though. I didn't tell Messina why, you know what I'm saying? But I said, switch this point out. You know what I mean? I can't teach on example, right? And I sat there, and the Holy Spirit began to convict me, and I'm still processing it right now. But one of the thoughts came to my mind was like, you know what? You blew your example on what to do right from the start, but you have an opportunity to give them an example on how to man up and apologize. Right? Holy Spirit will always give you a way out. He will always give you a way out. And the Holy Spirit told me, he said, you have an example right here, because they're going to see, like, my kids or your kids, they're going to see you mess up a million times. This is not going to be the first time I mess up. They're going to see you do it a million times over the course of a lifetime, but it's going to be rare where they see an example of somebody manning up. Anybody following along? So the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. He said, listen, you have an opportunity that may not come around a lot. I hope it don't come around a lot. But you can give an example of apology. So you know what? Courageous obedience. I'm telling you, God, don't let me get away from this, man. Whether he uses my family or uses something else. 27 years, always calling us to step it up, step it up, step it up, step it up. Faith to faith, glory to glory. Faith to faith, glory to glory. So I said, you know what? I'm going to man up. I got in the living room. I said, listen, I want a family meeting right now. Family meeting. I learned this from the Tafulis. Family meeting right now. We want a family meeting. My kids, my little girl, she comes in with tears in her eyes, and she sides up with her mom. She sits up with her mom. They all side up with their mom, right? My five-year-old comes up like, I don't want to go to jail. My son comes up, my wife, and by the grace of God, I sit down and I say, listen, I want to apologize for doing the wrong thing by parking in that red. I was not supposed to park in that red. I was not supposed to do that, but I am apologizing to you right now. And let me tell you something. By the grace of God, that was a courageous example of what to do when you mess up. What is God calling you to do? What is he challenging you to do? It may not be apologize to somebody. I don't know what it is. But today, God is challenging us to step it up, to be kingdom men. Let's bow our heads. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just for a couple moments as the worship team comes back up. Just want us to reflect upon the word of the Lord this morning. Just what was it the Lord was trying to get across to you this morning? What was he challenging you with? What is he trying to get you to step up into? Just for a couple moments, while everybody remains seated with our heads bowed, let us reflect upon the word of the Lord. Worshippers, you challenged us, Lord God, to be courageous, and you challenged us to be radically obedient. Lord, help us all as kingdom people to step up to that standard. Forgive us where we have messed up. Forgive us where we have not been faithful, where we have not been courageous, where we have not been worshippers, where we have not been obedient. Forgive us, Lord. Your word says if we confess our sins to God, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. That When we mess up, we can cry out to you. You'll give us another chance, another chance, another chance, Father God. So, Lord, we worship you. We praise you. We thank you for being a good, good Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Praise. God is good.